Take your Bibles, if you would, while I get this set up and not paying attention to you. Take your Bible, turn to Ezekiel chapter 16, if you would. That's where I'm going to start. That's what the Lord laid on my heart a little while ago when while I was praying and just thinking about that. And as I told everybody before, I've been kind of watching the news and what's been going on this week in our country. The Supreme Court was given a case that, in my opinion, was a setup case, and it was all done for this particular reason. And I don't think really that our Supreme Court really had any interest in following what was right. If they would have followed what was right, they would have went the other way on this thing. But there was here's the stupid thing. Bill Clinton comes out and says, "Oh, I'm glad the Supreme Court made the right decision on this." He signed the bill. He's the one that signed the bill that they overturned in the Supreme Court. It's called the Defense of Marriage Act. And it was one of those laws that Congress passed to stipulate that marriage is between a man, a male, and a woman, a female. If you remember, several years ago in the state of Missouri, we did it right in Missouri. We passed a constitutional amendment. The Constitution of the state of Missouri is the supreme law in this state. If anything is done in this state, it has to be done in accordance with the Constitution. The Constitution, as far as the state of Missouri, is what the Bible should be in the church. Can I hear you say amen? Doesn't matter what I say. Doesn't matter what you say. Doesn't matter what you come up with. If it's not in here, it ain't right. And so this Bible is sufficient for everything that we... So that's what the Constitution is. So several years ago in the state of Missouri, we passed an amendment to the Constitution of the state of Missouri that declared that marriage now is between a man and a woman only. Now watch this now. Between a man and a woman. Not one man and two or three women. Not anything like that. It legally defined, this is how we in the state of Missouri want it. 80% to 20% or something like that was the vote on that. That's an overwhelming, but wasn't even close. Missouri still got, we still got half a brain, I think. Amen. Amen. And I heard them old boys down in Arkansas talk about how they're afraid that Arkansas is going to turn over to a sodomite marriage state. They must not have put it in their constitution like we did. Now, I don't know if the federal government can have any jurisdiction over that. I don't think they can. I don't think they should. But who knows what this government is going to do? They may rule and say, well, now the Supreme Court said this, you can't have that amendment in the state of Missouri. That's not going to be good for guys like me. Because I won't go for the change. And you can call me old-fashioned, you can call me a hate monger, you can call me a bigot, you can call me any name and put any kind of label you want to on me at your discretion. You are not going to change my mind on this because I'm going by what the Word of God says. And I want you to hear me out on this. And again, I'm going to say this. I think that if the country will not defend marriage, then the church needs to step up and do it for them. Which, if you ask me, we should have never let the government and depended on the government to do what God called us to do to begin with. Can I hear you say amen? It is not our government's job to enforce everybody's morality. It is up to the preachers and the pulpits of this country to preach righteousness, and God will convict hearts and bring people into righteousness. But this is why you see the problem we have in this country. Where did I tell you to turn? Ezekiel chapter 16. Now this is an interesting chapter out of the Bible, and if you've never read this, I encourage you to go home and read it. Ezekiel 16 is actually a description of Jerusalem, earthly Jerusalem. And God talks about how he found Jerusalem and cleaned her up and made her a pretty beautiful nation, really. And all these things. But she turned against God and she went out and committed whoredoms and this and that and the other. And here's the interesting thing is if I can find the verse here where it talks, somebody help me out here, where it talks about the sin of Sodom. Verse 49, he calls in verse 48, God calls Sodom the sister of Jerusalem. And he said, as I live, saith the Lord, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. And I want you to listen to me this morning. If God doesn't destroy America, he will apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. He'll have to. Because he's telling us that Sodom did not do what you've done. And I'm telling you, it looks to me like, if not now, in the next, I don't know when, we are going to be living in Sodom. And people, you have to ask the question, how far will the Sodomite agenda be promoted and pushed in this country? I'll tell you that they will not stop until America is in ashes. Will not stop until this nation is on fire like Sodom and Gomorrah. And let me tell you a little bit about Sodom and Gomorrah. And we're going to read a verse here in a little bit so you understand where I'm coming from on this. God uses people to be examples. Who in here is a younger sibling in a house full of children? Who was the youngest of you? Didn't you watch your older brothers and sisters get all the beatings, all the whippings, and all the trouble they got into, and you went, I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to do that. I'm not going to do that. So you went out and did everything they didn't. They didn't. Amen. Did all new things. But that's what it was. God uses examples in this Bible. He said, these things have I written you as examples unto whom the ends of the world to come. He said, I gave you examples so you would not lust after evil things like they lusted. And God specifically said concerning Sodom and Gomorrah and the other cities that he destroyed in those days, that he did so as an example to every generation that comes after them by declaring to them, this is what I do to wickedness. This is what I do to the wicked city. What did God do in the days of Noah? What did he do? He destroyed the world. Why? Because of their wickedness. And God said, that is an example to you. This is what I do. Let me tell you something. We will not get away with this in this country. We will not be able to turn this nation into Sodom and Gomorrah and spit in the face of Almighty God and get away with it. We will not do it. If you think that everything's going to be fine for the next 40 years, you're not thinking right. I'm not going to tell you you're crazy. I'm not going to tell you you're dumb. I'm just telling you, you're not thinking right. If you think that we're going to continue to live like we are, high on the hog right now, in this country, with this nation whom God brought together with his word, we are not going to live much longer. So you're trying, I don't like this kind of preaching. This is exactly the kind of preaching we need. If you don't want to hear something else, go home, watch Joel and Joyce on TV. You can get a gut load of how you can feel good and everybody's okay with God. That's a bunch of nonsense. Go up to this faith church up here. He'll fill your head with and bring your credit card. He'll fill your head with all kind of stuff. I think every now and then we ought to just open our eyes to reality and look at the situation that we're in right now in this nation. I don't know what door this opened up as far as legally is concerned. We already know that the government listens in on just about everything that we do. Do y'all know that? So they're listening today. And I'm telling everybody that's listening, if you think that you're going to make me do a Sodomite wedding, you're crazy. I won't do it. This church won't stand for it. We will not defile what biblical marriage is all about by doing that. Won't happen. Won't happen. Now, they will use weapons against us. They will use persecution against us. They cannot take away your salvation.
That's good. Ezekiel 16, verse 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride. First word out of God's mouth was pride. What kind of parade to heaven this weekend? Pride parade. Why do you think they named it that? Because God's word is always right. God knows the spirit that is behind this. And this is why you say, well, I don't believe that. Listen, I don't care. This Bible's right. God knows the spirit that's behind them. He knows how they operate. He sees what you don't see. And this is exactly why they call their festivals and their parades the Pride Parade, is that they are declaring. You know what God said? He said, you declare your sin as Sodom. You hide it not. And so years ago in this country, we have a phrase called in the closet. That means that anything you wanted hidden, you put away in the closet. And there was sodomites in this country for years, but they were hidden away. They didn't make it open. They talk about how they're persecuted and this. They want you to feel sorry for them. But the bottom line is, anybody that lives any kind of iniquity, I don't care if it's sodomy, I don't care what it is, it needs to be kept hidden. In fact, what you need is, you need it hidden under the blood of Jesus Christ is what you need. Amen. But see, now they come out. Now they say, we declare our sin as Sodom. We hide it not. And so the spirit that is in them is a proud, boasting, arrogant spirit. You see on the news, they'll show you just a few clips, 10 seconds at most, of what they want you to think a gay pride parade is all about. They're going to show you the rated G clips. What they're not going to show you on the news is what really happens, not just behind the scenes, out in open at a gay pride festival or parade. I'm not going to describe it. I would tell you to use your imagination. I don't even want you to go there. But it is open sodomy in public, and no one says a word about it. And you have to ask yourself the question, why? Why is it? Why is it that this goes on this way? And no one who is in any elected office or any law enforcement or anything like that ever says, this is not right, this is against the law. If anybody else was doing this, we would arrest them. How come they get to do this? You have to ask yourself the question, why? And I've asked that question before, and preachers now, preachers coming out of the closet, preachers, ministers behind pulpits. It's not just in the Methodist church anymore, it's everywhere. Ministers coming out saying, I'm a sodomite, I'm this, I'm that, and it's okay, God made me this way. You have to ask yourself the question, why wouldn't they preach on sin to begin with? I can tell you from a preacher's standpoint, one of the reasons why a preacher won't preach against certain sins. He's doing it. And if he can preach a gospel that will allow you to be a sodomite or a fornicator or a drunk or anything else, that means he can get away with it too. But I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter what the preacher preaches, because God's still going to judge according to this. This is not really the message. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, the abundance of idleness. Ask yourself the question. Number one, does America have pride in her? Yes. From our elected officials on down to the people working in the streets, America is full of herself. We think we're the hot dog of the world. We think we're the only good people in the world. And I'll tell you something. God takes all the pride people, and what does he do with them? He humbles them. Do you know why God is allowing the Muslims to take over this country? It's to bring the Christians down on their knees. That's what he's doing. He said fullness of bread. buffets, food everywhere. We have food everywhere. We don't have to work for it. In fact, in the last 7-8 years or whatever, the government's just handing over money to everybody. Food stamps. About one in every five families in America is on food stamps. Government food. Here, eat this. And a lot of people are selling them for cigarettes and dope and everything else. Pride, fullness of bread, and an abundance of idleness. Kids sitting for hours. And I heard a guy on the internet last night, he's one of these futurists talking about the technology you have, and he said that's actually benefiting humanity. Kids sitting around playing video games. It's good for them. When my granddaddy was 8, 9, 10-year-old boy, he run a plow behind a horse or a mule. You can say, well, that's cruel, that's child labor, that's illegal. That was food. That was food. They didn't eat if they didn't work. You see, here's what happens. When a nation gets wealthy, they don't need to work as much. And then they get full of pride. And then they get full of bread. And then they have spare time on their hands. And what is it the old timers used to say? An idle mind is what? The devil's workshop. And this Bible says it just in different words. It says the same thing. That's what's wrong with America right now. We're destroying ourselves from the inside. Russia wouldn't touch us. China wouldn't touch us because in order to destroy America, they had to use nuclear bombs. That would destroy, that would defeat the purpose because that would ruin them. We got good land in this country and that would ruin the land and they knew it. So you know what they decided to do a long time ago? Just sit back and let America destroy America and then we'll move in and take it over. And that's what's coming. That's what's coming. I'm going to preach on defense of marriage this morning. Take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 19. And I know it's 10 to 12. And I just kind of laid this out. I'm not done working on it. Because I figured it would be more than one message. But I'm not just saying this stuff. Now I want you to understand, maybe you're sitting here, maybe you're watching me. And you're going, boy, this guy's, I don't like him. He hates everybody. I don't. Let me tell you what happened to me a few years ago. We had a lady that was coming here, and she came to me and she said, I got something I want to ask you. And I said, what? And she said, my brother, and I knew who her brother was. She said, my brother is up at St. John's Hospital, and he's dying of AIDS. And I knew he was a sodomite. And she said, would you go up and talk to him? I said, I won't mind. I said, but I would rather him know that I was coming. She said, I've already talked to him. He wants you to come up because he knows he's dying. I'm going up. And I went up. And I sat down next to this young man. He wasn't even in his mid-20s. Man who had been a sodomite most of his life. And I talked to him. And I said, now, I want you to understand something. I said, I don't hate you. I love you. That's why I'm here. And so I want you to understand that what I'm going to show you is from God's word and not my own whatever you might want to call it. He said, that's what I want. And by then, the HIV, the AIDS, had already attacked his brain. He was having trouble finishing sentences. He had to kind of figure out where he was going with it and finish it for him. Need nod his head, yeah. So I showed him in the Bible where it was wrong, it's abomination for a man to lie with another man. By the way, if I'd have been sitting with a drunkard, I'd have shown him from the Bible where the Bible talks against the sin of drunkenness. If I was sitting next to a fornicator, I'd be, same thing, it's the same Bible and it'll save lost people, amen? But I had to show him his sin. I couldn't just tell him, listen, God loves you just the way you are. I'm not going to tell him that. The man's dying! He's going to go to hell! He needs to hear the truth. So I sat down with him and showed him from the Word of God that he was a sinner. He was going to hell. He was going to spend eternity screaming and wailing in hell. And he needed to, and God could save him. He wasn't too far gone for God to say. You say, "Well, I don't believe that." Listen, it was God who put it in this young man's heart to have me come up there. I don't deny. Listen, I believe that every minute of it. So I went up there and I led him verse by verse, scripture by scripture. I said, "Do you want God to save you out of all your filthy sins?" "Yes, I do." And I had to help him pray the prayer because he couldn't finish the sentences. But I looked at him and I said, "Did God clean you from your sins?" "Yeah, he did." I said, "If you died today, where would you go?" He said, "I'd go to heaven." And I went over that his sister's house. He was over here just that trailer park off the end of Buck Creek Road, sitting up there dying in a house. And I went up there to him. And he was on his deathbed, just fixing to take over. And I went to him, I said, "Do you still believe Jesus died for your sins?" "Yes, I do." I said, "Are you glad that God saved you out of being a sodomite?" He said, "Yeah." I prayed with him. His two old buddies come in, sat down next to him. He'd already passed out. And they said, "We're just so grateful that you're just such an open man and you would come over." And I said, "Now hold on one second. Let me tell you something." And I laid into him. I was nice about it, but I was firm. I said, "I didn't come over here because I think what you guys are doing is right. The Bible says it's wrong, and he knew it was wrong." And he confessed his sins openly before God and before me, and God forgave him of his sins. He is not the same guy that you used to know. And I told him the truth. They wanted to put AIDS pins all in our church for the funeral, and I went, "You're not going to do that." We had his funeral right here in this church, and he's in heaven right now. So if you want to accuse me of hate, let me tell you what I hate. I hate any man's sins that'll destroy them and send them to hell. That's what I hate. But we got to get some. We got to get our thinking right. We got to get our minds right. Got to get our heart right with God. Let's understand this thing the way God gives it to us. So I'm going to be preaching on marriage next. I don't know. I'm almost done today. I'm going to be preaching on marriage. Next week, I'm going to preach on marriage. God allows me to. The week after that, I'm going to preach on marriage. I am for marriage. I have stayed married. This year, my wife and I will be married 26 years. Okay? By the grace of God. By the grace of God, we are still together. I will not and cannot boast of anything that I've done. But I'm just telling you, if you've been married and God's kept you together, that was God that did that and not you. Because God is for marriage. One man, one woman. And I'm going to show it to you from the Word of God. Let's just go over our scriptures here. Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. This is at the end of time. This is the end. The world has passed away. And now we have this beautiful, beautiful picture of how God sees everything. Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. "And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters." And some people would say, "Well, you're preaching that. You're in the minority." No, I'm not. "Lord, open their eyes so they can see the angelic hosts in heaven who are proclaiming this same thing." Somebody say amen. Oh, and there are an innumerable amount of angels that are saying exactly what I'm going to be saying. "Voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and a voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Let us. You ever heard that Handel's Messiah? Hallelujah. That's where it came from, right here. That's where that came from, right here. "Let us be glad," verse 7, "and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come." Watch this now. The marriage of the Lamb. This, and one of the things that I'm going to stress throughout this whole series is that, listen, and I want everybody listen to me, young and old, there is something in this world far more important than you. Far more important than you. It is marriage. Because I don't know what percentage it would be, but I would say that a lot of the problems that rise up in a marriage that would cause a bust up of what God had ordained between a man and a woman, a lot of those problems stem from I'm not getting me. In fact, this world says, well, these are two men that love each other. Let me correct that. This is a man that loves himself. This is a man who loves himself, and they find satisfaction personal in one another. That's not love. That's not love. There is something far more important than you and what you want and what you think you deserve and what you think you need in your marriage. It's called marriage. Marriage is way up here. We're just little bitty things down here trying to do what God wants us to do. And I'm only telling you what God has had to pound into my head, Mike. There is something more important than you. Marriage is more important than you, Mike. Because that day when you and Sweetie Pie came down the front of this church, you were me. Sweetie Pie was my bride. You were showing what you see at the end of time. It's greater than you are. Deal with it. And I said, God, I get it. So God's helped me purpose in my heart that no matter what we go through, there is something far more important that I have an obligation to than to just satisfy whatever needs my mind or my body thinks it deserves. That is God's way. I've been called to show forth God's way. That's my calling. That's what God called me to do. If I destroy my marriage, I'm not showing what God wants me to show. I'm preaching to the church this morning. I'm preaching to people who say, amen, King James Bible and salvation by grace. You're not showing the lost world anything. You can say, well, I believe the Bible and I believe salvation by grace and I believe all this and I've got my doctrine right. But you destroyed your marriage. You're not showing anybody anything. Something higher than you are. It's the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now, I want you to think about a marriage. I'm going to be done here in a minute. I cannot even begin to get into what I was going to get into today. Not even close. But did you ever ask the question, why does the bride wear white? Why does she do that? It's right here. And I'll say this to you, and I want you to be thinking and praying about this all week now. You might have been to a wedding, and you knew the bride, and she was wearing white, and you were going, her? I don't think so. Wait till next week. Okay? If God calls her clean, she's clean. If God said she could wear white, she can wear white. Because The husband said so. The husband said so. So you pray about this all week, okay? Let me finish the scripture, and we'll dismiss here in a minute. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write. Man, I like this. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Just one place I'm going to show you this very quickly. Let me show you how God sees this thing, and then we'll just be dismissed, okay? Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. The Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Even though, men, you think you'd be better off alone, trust God. He knows you. He knows you, Jimmy. He knows you. Anybody named Jim, raise your hand. He knows all the Jimmies. Amen. It's not good for you to be alone. Amen. God sent Jimmy's wife to camp all week long. She's just having a little vacation down there. It ain't good for Jimmy to be alone. It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God, verse 21, caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. I want you to notice the gender in these verses. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a man. That's not what it says. God did not take from man and make another man. He did not. This is God's ordination. This is God's law. This is God's commandment. The thing that America should do, if we're smart, we will put our nation's laws in line with God's laws. But we won't do that. And if they can destroy marriage, Wayne, if our elected officials and our judicial officials can destroy marriage, what else are they going to do to this country? No telling. The rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Genesis 2, verse 23. And Adam said, this is now bone. Watch this now. This is now bone. This is now, right now, bone of my bones. In other words, we're the same. We are one body. Bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. You should be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave. And I have the words unto his wife. Shall cleave unto his wife. Underlined here, and they shall be one flesh. Very quickly, God defines marriage between a man and his wife. Period. Amen. Period. It's over with. This is God's law. I'm just going to ask you this morning by way of invitation. I'm going to ask you, and I'm just going to call you on the carpet this morning. I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm going to ask you to step. We got cameras all around this building. They're going to watch you make a decision today on whose side you're going to be on. The Bible says if you want to side for Sodom, go ahead. Like Lot's wife did. She changed her vote. But if you are for marriage, the way God intended it, one man, one woman, would you stand to your feet? You're either very, very proud, or I won't say pride. You're very confident and unafraid to take a stand, or you decided, well, I don't want to get caught here. I don't think that's the case. And since we know that the government is watching and listening to everything that everybody does, Just send them your name. Just send them your number. They already got everything else on your ID. They got everything else. Let me tell you something. You have just become an enemy of the state. And it didn't have to be that way. At one time, the state knew this was the word of God. And they followed it. But now, like Paul said, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And I'm telling you, you've just become an enemy of the state. So if they come and arrest me, you better show up at the jail. It may come to that. Let's pray.